One of the most important things we need to understand about God's ways is what was manifested as the primary thing in Jesus' life. And we can see that in Philippians in chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, he talks about unity there. It's one of the most complete verses on unity found in the whole Bible. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. He speaks about being in the same mind, the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. I don't think there is another verse in the whole Bible that speaks about so many aspects of unity. Same mind, same love, same spirit, same purpose. And in order to get there, he says in verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. He speaks about two sins. Two sins that disturb and prevent unity. Those sins are, verse 3, selfishness and pride. Here is the command. Is it possible to obey it? Do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing in pride. I tell you, after 50 years of being a believer, I haven't come there yet. And if you think you have, it's because you don't have light on yourself. These are two mountains. Do nothing from selfishness. That means absolutely zero in my life that I do centered in myself. Every decision, never thinking of myself. Nothing in pride. But though it is a mountain, if you don't start climbing it, you'll never reach the peak. We have to press on. This is what it means to press on to perfection, like you see in the front of this pulpit. Some people say to us, oh, you brothers think you're perfect. I say, just come and see what's written in the front of our pulpit. That's our testimony that we're not perfect. We believe in pressing on to perfection. Perfection means what? To be like Jesus, who did nothing from selfishness, who did nothing from pride. Now, in the Old Testament, there was no commandment saying, don't do anything from selfishness. Don't do anything from pride. It was impossible to give that command because it's like asking a little baby to lift a 50-ton weight. How can a little 5-year-old lift 50 tons over his head? So God doesn't give impossible commands. But now he says you can do it because, you know, if you have a crane, you can lift 100 tons. Now, when God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, it's possible to obey this command. Many of us say, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Do you tremble at God's Word? Do you know why God does not look upon many of us with favor and blessing? If God would look upon us, His face would shine upon us, we would be radiant all the time. We would never be in a bad mood. We would never be depressed or discouraged if God's face would shine upon us. God told Moses, tell Aaron, this is the way to bless the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24-26. The Lord bless you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and shine upon you and give you peace. The fullness of that we can experience only today. And if God, to whom does God look with favor? Let me show you a verse in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, we read in verse 1 and 2. He's talking about prophetically about building the church. Many of us want to build the church. Many of you elders think that you're building the church in your locality. I hope you are. I don't know. But I certainly want to build the church. I don't want to, just like Noah was gripped by building the ark, I'm gripped by building the church, because I know that's the only thing that'll remain when the world is destroyed. Just like Noah knew, the ark is the only thing that'll remain when the world is destroyed. I don't know whether you believe that the only thing that'll remain is not your house and your job and your reputation, but the church. And if you're wise, you'll build the church. Isaiah 66, the Lord says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Where are you going to build a church for me? What sort of house are you going to build for me? Because I made all of this universe. But I will look at this person with favor, so that I will make him build my church. The one who is humble and contrite or broken of spirit, and who trembles at my word. I remember years ago when I read that verse, and I said, "Lord, all my life, I want you to look at me with favor. Always, every day, in my home, I want you to look at me and shine upon me. When I stand in the pulpit, whether it's 10 times a day, I want you to look at me with favor, and I know it'll go well." And the Lord says, "I'll look at you, but I'm not partial. These are the conditions. You must always humble yourself. You must always be broken in your spirit. And when you see something in my word, you must tremble until you obey it." I said, "Lord, I'll do that." And God's word breaks me. God's word humbles me, because I know I haven't reached where God wants me to reach. That's what made Paul the man he was. He was constantly aware, as he says in Philippians 3, "I've not yet attained, I've not yet become perfect, but there's one thing I do. There's only one thing I'm doing in the world. I'm not here to make money or get honor or fame. I'm here to press on to perfection and to build the church." So when I read a word like this, "Do nothing from selfishness," you know what I do? I tremble at that word, because I look at my life and I say, "Lord, so many things in my life I'm seeking my own." You be honest with yourself. When you make a decision, what do you think? How will this affect me? How will this affect my family? Is this going to be beneficial for me? Is this going to be beneficial for my family? If I go there, that'll be more beneficial for me. That'll be more beneficial for my family. I say, "Lord, I never want to decide like that. I want to say, if I go there, will it be more beneficial for God's kingdom? And will it bless God's family? I'll go. If it's inconvenient, let it be inconvenient." Can you say you're doing nothing from selfishness? Are you even trying? Many of you have been in the church for 20, 30 years. How free are you from seeking your own? How free are you from saying, "I don't want to seek my own in the decisions I take in my life"? Those are the people who get God's best. Those are the people who build the church. There are many people who want to build a church. It's the old. They built a church over there. I want to build a church in my locality. They want honor. They want to be known as the elder and the leader. They don't tremble at God's word. They're seeking their own in the decisions they make. They don't want to pay a price. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to sacrifice. Do you know how Jesus built the church? Let me show you. Ephesians 5. The Lord's spoken to me many times through this verse. Ephesians 5. we read that Jesus Christ, verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Gave himself to death. Every desire he had put to death. What for? For the church. Now, when you decide to take up the cross in order to be holy yourself, you know, even that can be pretty selfish. I want to be holy. I want people to see me as a holy man of God. Good, but it could be a very selfish desire. Jesus did not take up the cross in order to be holy. He was already holy. He went to the cross for the sake of the others, for the sake of the church. True holiness is that which seeks the good of others, not one's own gain. Paul says about some people for whom godliness is a means of gain. And the Christian world is full of people who preach godliness in order to gain money. I don't believe there are people like that in our churches who are doing it for money. But I think there are many in our churches who are doing it for honor. The honor of being known as a great preacher. The honor of being known as an elder brother or an elder brother's wife. You're no better than that other man who's doing it for money. You don't need money, you need honor. He needs money. What's the difference? Seeking our own, wanting to be known. Would you do God's work if you're unknown and nobody knows about you and you're not an elder? You're just an ordinary brother sitting at the back of some church, but you say, Lord, I want to build a church. I never want to be an elder, but I want to build a church. Let nobody give me any credit. Let nobody know me. Let nobody recognize me, but I want to build a church. That's the man God will use because he's not seeking his own. Do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing from pride. I tell you, we need to constantly repent and repent and repent and repent of the selfishness, self-centeredness, and the pride there is in our life. That's what he says in Philippians 2. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Philippians 2, it says, let this attitude, verse 5, Philippians 2, 5, be in you which was in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, God demonstrated his ways. When Jesus said, I am the way, he wasn't just saying the way to get forgiveness of sins. He says, I am the way. The way I lived is the way you should live. I am the narrow way. That is the way we are to walk. The way Jesus walked. Not being a carpenter or a bachelor, but living free from selfishness and pride. And that is the area where God sees how many of us are serious about following Jesus. If you want to know whether you're serious about following Jesus Christ, ask yourself whether you're constantly asking God to show you the selfishness within yourself. When was the last time you asked God to show you your self-centeredness, your seeking your own, your selfishness? When was the last time you asked God to show you your spiritual pride? When God used you in some way to bless somebody, the pride that came up at that moment, you repent of it. It comes to all of us. Some people immediately fall on their face before God and say, God, I'm sorry. I got a little puffed up there. Forgive me. Others just move on as if nothing happened. Their conscience doesn't even bother them that they got puffed up when God used them.